Tell your Bibles, let's turn back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Revelation 3, verse 14. Anybody there? It says, and the Bible says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean. Write these things, says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we praise and we honor you, Lord God, and again, thanks for the opportunity to be in your house. Father, I pray right now that we can take your word, Lord God, and we can open it up here, Lord God, and Father, you speak to our hearts, Lord God. Use me, Lord God, as a mouthpiece for your people. And God, I pray that your word, Lord God, that is so true, and even though it's a book of Revelations, everybody says the hardest book in the world, but God, that you are showing your love through this book, God, to a sinful world, Lord God, and to a sinful church, Lord. And Father, I pray this morning for one here that doesn't know you, Lord God, that they'd come to you today, Lord God. And Father, I pray that, Lord, if there's a Christian here that needs a closer walk with you, Lord God, I pray that they do this, Lord God. And Father, just use me again as a mouthpiece for your people, Lord, for your glory. And God, we give you the praise. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The Laodicean church, what an example of, you read this, you know, without all the stuff that the theologians say about it. It's just very plain and simple. This is a church that had became very rich. They're rich. They did not have any needs, they thought. And God is telling John, again on the island of Patmos, to tell this church what's going on. And he starts out, if you listen as we go along with this morning, you'll see how much God loves us and how much God does not want to harm any of his children. He said to the Laodicean church, these things says the Amen. For the faithful and the true witness. The Amen. God says that. And God is telling, again, saying this, John, he's saying, the true witness. God, let me tell you something. This world that we live in, there is every kind of person in this world that will tell you anything that you want to hear. But there is only one true witness, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That, and that's what he's saying. He's saying, now, this is not one of these rich people in this town that you live in. This not some of the preachers that live in this town right here, but this is coming from God, and he is a true witness. And not only does he remind us that he is a true witness, that he is from the beginning, that he is a creator. God, who is witnessing to this church, who was witnessing to the Laodicean church, is the God that created it all. So what other witness, and basically what he's saying, church, us at Oakhurst, what other witness do you want except God? He is the only true witness. He says, I am the true witness of the God of the creation, is what he's saying. And in the next verse he said, I know your works. And as this is the last church that we'll be going through in the book of Revelation. It's the last one. And he says again, as he said to every one of them, all seven, I know your works. And what is he saying? God is telling you and I, God is telling this church, I know what you are doing. You cannot hide nothing from me because I am God. Again, I'm the creator. I am the true witness. I am the one, in other words, I know it all. I know everything. A lot of people think they know everything. A lot of people like this church in this Laodicean church. And many churches in the United States of America today are doing exactly what this church is doing. You see, we'll get down. They were wealthy. They were they were doing some works, but they had decided that their wealth had taken them above God, and God had no control. And God is warning them, and he's basically saying, before I come, he said, I know your works. I know what you're doing. So let's be, in other words, like you and, you ever have one of them talks with your daddy? He call you into the kitchen at night, and everybody else gone to bed, and he said, now look, I want you to tell me about this. And maybe you hem-hawed around a little bit, and daddy said, look, I already know before you open your mouth. I just want you to tell me what you have done. So God is telling you and I, God is telling this church, I know what you're doing. I already know it. I know you did this and this and this and this. I know you have failed me here. I know that you have went to church some. I know that you've read your Bible some. But this is what you're doing. And he's saying, I know your work. And he says, I know that you're neither cold nor hot. What does that mean? I know that you're not hot. In other words, you're not setting this town on fire. You're not setting your heart on fire. You're not reading my word. You're not praying. You're not doing the things that you should be doing. I know that. You're playing church is what he's saying. You're playing like you read the Bible. You pray like I said. When God says pray in the church, Jesus is a perfect example of how we should pray. And he gives us that in the Lord's Prayer. But every time that Jesus prayed, he went up into the mountains or he went into the garden, in the corner of the garden. He went somewhere by himself and he prayed to God. And he didn't just say our little prayers we teach our kids, now lay me down to sleep. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the meat. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, I know what you're doing. I know how you're praying. I know how you're reading the Bible. I know how you're acting. And listen, you think that you don't need me, but oh, do you need me? Because there is a day coming that you're going to wish that you had paid attention to me, but you're not doing it. So he says, I know your works, that you're neither cold or hot. And I, God, God is the I could wish you were cold or hot. In other words, he said, I wish you were one or the other. You ever told anybody that? I had some people at a church one time that was just about to run me and everybody in the church crazy. Every little thing that happened or anything that happened, they would make a molehill out of a mountain. And so it was left up to me, and I finally did. I just called them in the office, and I said, look, you're either for me or you are against me. You're either for God or you're against God. So tell me where you at, and I will know how to act. And that's kind of what God is saying here. You're neither hot, you're not cold. In other words, there's a little bit of life in you. And this is what Jesus is saying to all the churches and to each and every one. Hey, there's a little bit of life there. And those of you, there are several women out here that have been nurses, worked in the medical field. If there's a little bit of life in you. I remember one time my daddy, back in the 60s, had a bleeding ulcer. And me and my brother stayed with Brother Bill Botard anyway. They rushed him to the hospital, and they rushed him in the operating room, and they called Houston back in them days to relay some blood up here by the Department of Public Safety. They relayed the blood to the Huntsville Hospital. Well, by the time the blood got there, Daddy had quit. Dr. Addison went and told my Uncle Joe to go tell Mama that he was gone. Well, there was a lady that went to Uncle Joe's church and knew Daddy. Sister McDonald is all I can remember. She went in the op. She was a surgical room nurse. She went in the room, and she felt a faint pulse. She hollered at Dr. Addison. To make a long story short, he lived 30-something more years because there was just that little hint of life. And that's what God is saying. Hey, you're not dead. In other words, you're not burning up on fire, but there is a little life in you, and that's what I want to turn that life around. That's what he's saying to the church. That's what he's saying to you and I. You got that little, turn it around. Live the rest of your life for me. That is what he's telling this church. So you're not cold or you're not hot. I love you. And I want to show you, even, you know, I always say God loves you. Even though in the Old Testament he had millions of people killed. How can God do that? Even though things happen, how can God do that? Let me tell you, God is God, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are different from our ways, and we can't figure it out. But one thing you can say about God, he loves each and every one of us. These people, this church, is going straight to hell. Just like a lot of people and a lot of churches in this world we live in today. But God wants you to understand there's a little life still in you. And I can take that life that's still in you and bring you forth, and you can bud for me like these trees and flowers are budding outside this church today, because God is God. Them old trees and flowers out there were dead as a doornail. They wasn't nothing. 6 weeks ago, you could see all the way through the wood. But now, God has brought forth life. God wants to bring that life into you and I. And he says, if you don't, he said, verse 16, he said, so then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I mean, that's what God is. What's he saying? Aren't you, the Holy Spirit brought this to me about 3 o'clock this morning. What is he saying? So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. A lot of people go around here all the time, outside, in the church. I know Jesus Christ, he's my Lord and Savior. I know him, he's my Lord and Savior. He is my Lord. But what are you doing for him? What are you doing? When I get through, I'm going to read some of the things that I wrote down last night. But what I want you to get out of this is, don't lose me. Verse 16, so then because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Even though I love you with all of my heart, with all of my being, if you do not give your life to me, if you do not believe in me and trust me with your life, I'm going to have to get rid of you in the end. That's what he's saying. I'm going to get rid of you. And King James, I think it says, spew you out of his mouth. Get rid of you. Verse 17 says, because you say, I'm rich. You become wealthy. I have need of nothing. You ever saw anybody like that? I have saw churches like that. I have saw people like that. I have saw people in my 40-something years now of pastoring. I have saw people that literally got out of prison, was as low as they could be. They come to God. They come to church 4 or 5 or 6 months, sometimes 4 or 5 or 6 years, and all of a sudden they inherit a bunch of money, or they do something that makes a bunch of money, and you never see them in a church house again. That's what God's talking about. You are wealthy. You got all the stuff, but you think that you don't need nothing. But I'm going to tell you something, people. This old world is not our home. This is not our final resting place. Our final resting place will be eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, or eternity with the devil in hell, which was not made for you or I, but for the devil and his host of angels. But if you choose to do that, God is going to do what he has to do in the end. He said, because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and do not know you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Think about that. Think about the words that God, this is in red letters. Again, John is on the island of Patmos. God is giving him this in a vision. A lot of people say it was just a dream, wasn't until God was giving this to John, and he told him to write it down. He said,
and do not know that you are wretched. You're crippled. You're sick. You're hurting. You're miserable. You ever been miserable? You ever been just miserable with pain or something, a toothache or an earache or something? You just, nothing that you've done? God is saying them people that are just miserable. I mean, they can't, you can't even think. You don't want to think, you know? So you get a bad enough toothache or something, you just think somebody take a hammer and knock you in the head, you know? I mean, God is saying that you are miserable. Not only miserable, probably none of us in here, some of us I'm sure, have ever been, we was poor when we was young, but we didn't have enough sense to know it. I mean, because we always had it, we always had food and stuff, but you think about poor. Think about one of these really poor people living down there in Houston, and I want you to, or Huntsville, or at the Good Shepherd Mission, I don't want you to be criticizing. Don't think that part. Think about how it would be to be poor. There's not a soul in here right now that does not know that they're going to eat lunch after a while. Not nobody in here. Think about it if you were like one of them little old children in Africa or some of the children in Mexico, El Salvador, Spain, all these places that don't have nothing to eat, that are running people in the street just to give them a nickel to buy something with. They're poor. And God is saying, even though that you are poor, next, you're blind. You can't see, even though you are poor and in life, you're rich, but you are really poor, you're miserable, you're hurting, and you're blind. You can't see. And you're naked. I don't think there's nobody in here that wants. And God is saying, see, God, his eyes are bigger than ours. He can see it. He can see you over there naked and cold and hungry and in pain and hurting. And you see, he wants to help you, but we have let the world blind us out of seeing God and what he really is and what he can really do. Because he sees us as poor, naked, miserable, sick, wretched, hurting, dying, and we think we're living. But people, when that horn blows, when Gabriel blows his horn and those clouds roll back, it's going to be too late then. You're going to be just as you are right now. If you know God right now, if you don't know God, I'll suggest to you that you find your way to him today. But the day that he comes back and you don't change your mind and you think, I got life by the hand, I'm doing everything that I need to be doing, I read my Bible once a week, I pray every once in a while when I feel like it or when I get a headache or something, well, just go ahead on. Because your day is coming. He said, you're rich. You become wealthy. And you know the other part is that I can't help but think about America. How we started out with men and women that had nothing. Come over here on them ships and were sick, dying of typhoid fever and every kind of disease that they could have. Yet they held on to what they got. And because of those people, America, which was founded on God, become a country that was wealthy and took their eyes. America is blind. The people in America are blind. We're poor, we're wretched, we're crippled, we're all these things, we're naked. We think we got it all. But when God comes, that's going to change. Now listen to the rest of this. Verse 18, he says, I counsel you. When you counsel somebody, you talk to them one-on-one. God is talking to each and every one of us. God is talking to this church, saying, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. God wants to clean you up. God wants you to believe in Him and believe that the blood that He shed on that cross at Calvary would wipe all that sin away. It'll put the eyes, open your eyes where you can see God. It'll open your eyes where you can understand the book of Revelation and any other thing you want to know in the Bible. God wants to free you. He wants to clean you up from the sin that you're living in. That's what He's saying. I want to clean you up. There's still a little bit of life in you. And people, as long as there's life in you, God loves you. God said, I'll love the sinner to his grave. I will love you till you take your last breath, and then it's too late. But if there's a little bit of life in you, just a little bit, He said, I can feel a pulse and you got life. You're warm. And so I counsel you. Verse 19 is what really jumped out at me early this morning. He said, as many as I love, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. As many, what's he saying? You're blind, you're naked, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're wealthy, you think you got everything, but I love you. He's saying this morning, if you're a drug addict, if you're a whatever, wherever you are, if you're broke, if you're poor, if you're crippled, wherever you're at in life, He is saying, I see that life in you and I love you. What more could you, the Creator, remember we started out? The Creator, He said, from the beginning, I created you from the beginning, and I have carried you to here. And I just want to counsel you. I just want you to understand that you are dying. But there's still a little bit of life in you. And let me take that life. And that's the other thing. Let me take that life. He don't want you to take that life. What He wants you to do is turn loose of that life and let Him have it. Let Him have the life. You can't quit smoking. You can't quit doping. You can't quit nothing. You've got to give it to Him. And if you give it to Him and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you give Him your life, He will change you. I'm telling you. He is broke. He has taken habits away from me that I fought and fought and fought and fought, but He took one. If you give it to Him, He takes it. He says, I love you. As many as I love, I rebuke. I love you. Just like, Daddy ever tell you that? I love you, but I'm fixing to beat your butt. That's what he's saying. I love you, but I rebuke you. I love you, but I'm fixing to give you one. Well, Daddy would never tell us that, touching them, beat his ass, doesn't he? He's like, I love y'all. I don't want to do that. God is telling you, I got a lie. I see that lie. And I love you. And I'm going to have to rebuke you. I'm going to have to get a hold to you. Verse 20. And then verse 20. Here's the invitation. Behold, I stand at the door, knock. If anyone, now there's a lot of church people who get that mixed, that anyone mixed up. But God don't get it mixed up. He means anybody from anywhere. Don't make any difference where you're at. Don't make any difference if you or I don't like their color, their race, their creed. It don't make any difference. God said, He is God, and He loves everybody. And He said, I always like it, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that anyone, anybody, it don't make any difference who you are. It don't make any difference how bad you have messed your life up. You're looking at somebody that messed theirs up, and I'm still not perfect. But I'm holding God's hand, and He's going to carry me to the promised land. Well, I promise you, one day, we're going to all make it. We're going to all make it. He says, I stand at the door, and I knock. He's standing outside that door. The door of your heart. That's what he's talking about. I stand outside the door of your heart. And you may be sitting there this morning, you may feel that. You may feel that tug at your heart. You may feel that upset feeling that you have when you, remember when you was a kid, you had to get up in front of class, or you had your first football game, baseball game, play, or you had to say something. You may be feeling that this morning. That's God. God is standing outside your door. The creator of the heavens and the earth, Jesus Christ that died on the cross at Calvary, is standing there, and he's saying, behold, I stand at the door. If anyone hears my voice, Jesus is standing out the door of your heart saying, come. I always liked the when he brought Lazarus to the back to life. Lazarus, come forth. He called you by your name. Come forth. Come forth. Open that door. He says, behold, I stand at the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, you hear his voice, you feel his voice this morning, I will come in and dine with him, him with me. Remember little Zacchaeus in the cypress tree in Jericho? Remember Zacchaeus up in that tree? Zacchaeus just going to run and get a look at Jesus because he had heard all about him. He was a little man of stature. And Jesus come right under the tree, and he looked up in that tree and said, Zacchaeus. What did Zacchaeus do? He come down out of that tree and they went and dined. In other words, Jesus wants to come and be part of your life. Not just something that you set on a shelf and pick it up and come to the church house every once in a while. He wants to be part of your life, in your heart, every day of your life. That's what he's telling us here in these scriptures. If you hear me come, he says, I will come in him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, listen, listen. To him who opens that door, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Jesus inviting you this morning. If you don't know him, and every one of us that know, if you open that door, you can come up here with me one day when you die, and you're going to dine with me, and you're going to sit with me on my throne. Next part of that verse says, as I also overcame, what did he overcome? Jesus overcame the cross. Jesus overcame death. Jesus killed death. Death is dead as a doornail. Death is over with. Say, but you had a funeral that day. I had a funeral. I sure did. I had a funeral. But because of what she said to me in October 11th, 2007 or whatever it was, she went home to be with the Lord. Because, you know why? Because he had her. She didn't have her. He said, when you come to God, you are a new creation. You are his. And he is the one that takes care of it. He does everything in your life. It's hard for us to understand it. When I'm not telling you this morning to get saved and go out there and live like hell. I'm telling you, get saved and do the best you can do. But when you fall and stump your toe, you just ask him to forgive you and get up and go on. Right. That's what he's saying. He said, come and dine with me. Come to me. He said, I also overcame. God overcame death. Jesus Christ overcame death. He put death. There'll be no more funerals when we get up there. There'll be no more deaths. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more tears. Jesus won. I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, if you have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches and to each and every one of us. So, how does he see your life this morning? How does he see your life? Are you alive, church? I wrote all this down last night. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me might and honor me not. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and trust me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. And we praise you. And we honor you. And we love you. And Father, I know right now that you have spoke to every heart in this church, Lord. I pray, Lord God, if there is one here, Lord God, that doesn't know you, Lord God, that they just come down here and get on their knees, Lord, and just say that simple prayer. Just say, Father, I'm a sinner. I want to give you my sins. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you arose from that grave, and I want to give you the rest of my life, Lord. I want to let you control it. And Father, if they'd say that, how it would change their life, not only here, but eternally. God, people fight so many things every day, God, and you're asking right now. You're standing at that door and you're knocking. God, you said if we'd open that door, you'd come in and you'd dine with us. How simple that is. God, I pray right now that you would move in this church, Lord God. And I pray right now that every Christian in this church would come down there and fill these altars. And they would pray for the ones that may be out there that are unsure, that they would come on down, Lord God, and come to you today. Father, Lord, I pray that one soul would not perish, Lord God. I know that's what you want, Heavenly Father. That nobody would perish and go to hell. But God, that you want us to know, just like our earthly daddy knows, you're going to have to rebuke us. You're going to have time with us, Lord, if we don't turn our lives over to you. And Lord, I give you praise, I give you honor, and I give you glory. Lord, it's in your precious name we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus.